Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And Gary Trust here on the Billboard Chartbeat podcast and trying to make our guest feel really welcome this morning with that intro music, ABC, Jackson 5. Andrea Dresdale, Manager Entertainment Programming for ABC Radio. Welcome, Andrea.
Thanks for having me, Gary.
Do you feel all comfortable now with that music?
Yes, that's fine.
Not too cheesy for you? You're okay with that?
No. I mean, if I thought a little bit more, we could probably come up with some other ABC songs, but, you know.
Could have played the When Smokey Sings by ABC, but that might take a couple steps to figure out.
Yes, we could play Murder by Numbers by the Police. I think there's a line in there about ABC, but whatever.
All right. Well, Andrea, thank you for coming on the podcast. Known you for a bit, but we've never really chatted about what you do at ABC Radio, your title. Is always impressive sounding to me. I see you at different events. So tell her in what you do as a manager entertainment programming for ABC Radio.
Well, basically what I do is I oversee all our entertainment coverage. ABC Radio provides syndicated programming to over 1,500 radio stations nationwide, music stations and news talk stations. And we have a variety of entertainment products that I oversee, and then just the news in general. We have an entertainment correspondent in New York, one in L.A., we have a guy in Nashville, we have one in Vegas, and plus because we're tapped into the entire power of ABC, we've got affiliates all over the country. So if something's happening in Chicago, for example, Sinead O'Connor goes missing, we've got a guy in Chicago who can report on that for us. So I kind of tie all that together, make sure we're covering everything, oversee all the award show coverage that we do, the Oscars, the Emmys, the Golden Globes, the Grammys, etc., and the entertainment products that we have, which include our morning prep service, which is called Air Power, and that's a B2B product that we create for radio stations. And also, we have what we call our digital news service, which is music, entertainment news, variety of other things that's delivered via RSS around the clock, basically for radio station websites. And in particular, I oversee the music portion of that, the music news portion. We do it in 12 different formats. And when I'm not doing all that, I'm out interviewing musicians and covering events. And basically, I don't sleep.
I was going to say, there sounds like something's missing in your schedule here.
Yes. Sleep and relaxation. But that's okay.
So you really focused, it's entertainment, but there's a focus on the music side for you?
Well, that's mostly because it's my passion. And when I started at ABC, I was hired as a producer to oversee CHR Hot AC and AC.
Okay.
And then when I became the manager of entertainment programming, I took everything else under my wing, but kept on to the music just because I enjoy it so much, doing the interviews, doing the music reporting. And then I have a whole bunch of people who work for me who do, we cover all the other formats, you know, urban AC, country, classic hits, classic rock, oldies, alternative, active, almost everything, but classical, jazz, and AAA, really.
So are you, do you consider yourself kind of an encyclopedia of music knowledge for all different formats? Or at the very least, do you have to teach yourself a lot about these formats?
Over the years, I think because of my experience, I've gathered a lot of stuff. My first job in the industry was actually writing a music trivia show.
Ah.
So I really learned a lot doing that, let me tell you.
What show was that?
I started out at a company called MJI Broadcasting, which is now called Premiere.
Right.
And they used to have this show called Rock Quiz.
Oh.
They also had a show called Country Quiz and Trivia Quiz. And at some point, I was either writing producing or overseeing all of them. And that just sort of gave me this fount of incredible trivia that is still stuck in my head to this day, to the exclusion of nothing, you know, everything else.
So you're never at a loss for words at a party. You've always got something ready.
As long as people want to talk about music, yes. Don't try me on sports, but music, I'm good.
And was that really pre-internet where you had to look up all these facts? Where did you get them?
It was a variety of sources. We had books. We had old back issues of a variety of magazines like Rolling Stone.
Billboard.
Yeah, Billboard. Yes, Q Magazine from England is one of my favorites.
Okay.
And we used to get daily faxes. Remember the days of faxes?
Faxes, with books. We're bringing it all back.
Yeah, with news and things like that. So that's kind of where we got everything. Press releases, of course. But now it's so easy to find all this information. It was really a kind of surfacing that stuff back in the day.
Right. So it sounds like you're mentioning 1,500 radio stations. Is the content you produce, is it just for radio? A lot of it, at this point, just same with Billboard, we're really a content production company at this point. It's not just the website, it's videos, it's the magazine. Same thing with you. You're presenting content on many different platforms?
Well, we do have a number of digital partners that we provide programming to, and every day we're sort of talking about expanding that. But generally, it's terrestrial and it's digital for now, but, you know, always planning to expand and plans in the works to do many more things.
We've had prior guests here on the podcast talk about the power of radio, the reach of radio, and how maybe it's sort of cool to think streaming is the way to go, but radio is still there. We keep bringing out that stat that 243 million people a week, according to Nielsen, listen to radio. What's your take?
Well, it really does surprise me sometimes when I read studies that say that the number one way that people discover music is still the radio.
Yeah.
Because if you talk to young people, usually it's, you know, they're on one of the streaming services or they're on YouTube. But it's funny, Garth Brooks held a press conference at Yankee Stadium yesterday, and he said that he always wants radio to be the Santa Claus. To be the one to bring it, to give you that moment where you pull over to the side of the road and you stare at your radio because you can't believe what you just heard, whether it's some song you've never heard, a piece of news, for example, somebody like Prince dying or whatever. Radio is really, it's a local medium. It's very immediate. We at work, we're always on. We're never off. And it's really for breaking news. You can't beat it. And, you know, also, I think, despite the fact that you can drive around listening to all kinds of custom playlists, there's still the serendipity of just spinning through the dials and stopping and hearing a song. You know, that great moment when you hear that song and you stop and you're like, what is that? I love that.
Do you talk to younger people, the family members, friends who are, say, in their teens or much younger? And is it that while the facts might be correct about the number of people listening, from what you've heard, do younger people share that passion? Does it make you worried going forward that that number is not going to stay at that level?
In terms of listening to broadcast radio, yeah, a little bit, because there are very few young people that I have met, unless they're very young and they're sort of a captive audience in the back of the car with mom and dad,
right.
Mom and dad controlling the radio. But even now, you know, you've got mom and dad with their playlists and the streaming services. Even that might be going away. But, you know, for local news and weather and stuff like that, it's still going to be radio. But the young people that I speak to, I don't even know if they know that there's a knob on their car stereo that tunes into a radio station.
Well, I think a key thing is a whole separate discussion is going to be with car manufacturers keeping radio in cars and making sure it's not auxiliary options.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, we've seen more and more different services coming, all the streaming services, all the apps, everything coming with the cars. And yes, we need to make sure that radios stay in cars because, you know, you can listen to a streaming service all you want, but if there's a hurricane, you're not going to find out really about that.
I think maybe the best case is that the radio will coexist with all these streaming services. We'll all just have more options.
Yeah, I mean, because I really feel like it's the radio support of the artist and the concerts and live events and such that really keep the careers going. You can boast about how many streams you've got and how many views you've got. But when it comes to, I think, something like the Song of the Summer, it's what's pouring out of the radio on the beach. that summer. What's playing at the backyard barbecue? What's playing at the local bar? And right. that's really, a lot of that is really radio.
Andrea Dresdale, manager entertainment programming here on the podcast for ABC Radio, here on the Billboard Chartbeat podcast, chatting about your very busy days, Andrea. We'll get into more Song of the Summer. I know that's a passion of yours. You're saying all the different things that you do except for sleep during the day. Any specific schedule or every day? Is it different? You might all of a sudden be interviewing an artist that maybe 10 minutes ago, you didn't even know that was going to be happening?
That usually doesn't happen unless one of my staff doesn't show up. But in general, the interesting thing about our business is, well, our company anyway, is we actually all book our own interviews. There's not one central booking area.
Okay.
So any interview that I do, unless I'm doing it in collaboration with our TV partners, which we do that a lot, for example, with Good Morning America, with Live with Kelly,
right.
with the
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
You, unless I'm doing something specifically with them, I book all my own interviews, and I also help my staff book their interviews, just because over the years I've developed so many relationships that, you know, I know a lot of people, and right. I can help put them in contact with the people that they need to get in contact with. So yeah, a lot of what I do is booking. And there's also just the daily deliverables that I have to make sure I get out the door every day. And then there's the breaking news situation that, you know, it happens. And everybody, it's kind of all hands on deck. We all kind of scramble. We coordinate with all our different platforms, TV, abcnews.com, who is going to be reaching out, who is going to be getting the statement, are we going to be sending a chopper, are we going to be sending a radio correspondent. I remember we had our guy in L.A. Race to the scene when Paul Walker died in that car crash right. a few years ago. And just because we're very mobile, we don't need to bring a big crew or a camera or anything. You know, we can show up on the scene first and start reporting immediately. And that's what's really good about, you know, the flexibility of ABC Radio.
How do you see Twitter? Is it a foe? Is it a friend? Because you're producing all these reports, and someone can go on Twitter much quicker and say something. Do you mix both of them? How do you look at that?
Well, I use Twitter for definitely for research, because it's a really great way to find out, you know, at the same time what's going on, what everybody else is reporting. Also, because we do so much reporting on artists, everything that artists are tweeting is fair game to report on or to follow up, which right. I do a lot as
I've
well.
I've seen you. Yeah, I'm always like, oh, Andrea either really knows these people really well, or she's just really curious and talks to every pop star out there.
Well, it's a combination of both. I do know some of them, and some of them I just, you know, reach out to their people. For example, Kesha posted on Instagram about how she wasn't going to be performing at the Billboard Awards.
Yeah, right.
So we needed to sort of get more information about that, what was really going on. And, you know, so when we see a social media post that really kind of sparks a lot of questions, we want to get deeper into it. We want to find out what's really going on. I really don't like to just report what TMZ is reporting or report, you know, there are some sites that we just stay away from and we don't touch. The other thing that we do in terms of our news is, for example, if some magazine has a cover story with, oh, I don't know, Ariana Grande, and then some other site picks it up, we will never quote that site quoting Elle Magazine or an interview somebody did with the BBC.
Right.
We have to go back. We need to look at that original source. And there is so much of that quoting to quoting the quoting where it completely – it's like a game of telephone. I think it completely loses its context. And who knows if they really said those things.
Right. That's what – it's sort of – we only need one news service at this point. Everyone can retweet it.
Right, exactly. But as long as it's accurate.
Right. All right, so journalism, this has come up in previous podcasts for all the different ways entertainment content is changing. Keeps going back to check the facts, do that reporting from the start.
Yeah, you know, not long ago I spoke to a group of PR students at Hofstra University. They were hearing from entertainment publicists. I was there to give the other end of the spectrum. I'm the person you're going to be pitching to. And one of the things I said to them was, don't ever send me a press release with an error in it or a misspelling. And I said, don't ever let me know more about something your artist is doing than you do.
Right.
Because there are many times when I've reached out to clarify something that somebody was doing and the publicist is like, I don't know anything about it. It's like, that's bad. So
you're pretty thorough.
I try to be when I have time.
So you're doing research.
I'm just joking about that. I'm always thorough.
In your dreams, you're doing research.
Yes.
Where did that come from, Andrea? Where does that drive to get all the facts right and just to be in the position? How'd you get to that position?
Well, mostly because of my passion for music, which I sort of probably discovered when I was a little kid. I have a picture of myself listening intently to music on headphones when I was like 3 years old. And I remember, you know, dancing and singing to music when I was a little kid walking through a department store and buying 45s. I also started playing an instrument when I was pretty young. So
What instrument?
Guitar. Ah. I still play badly, very badly. I wish I could play better. But anyway, so I started, I really have a real love for music. And when I have a love for something, I want to know everything about it. I'm just one of those people. So even from a very early age, before I was even in the business or anything, I would read Billboard for fun, for example. I would read Rolling Stone from cover to cover. I would try to learn every single thing about the artists that I liked, the songs that I liked. I would buy books about music trivia. I would buy collections of writing by rock critics, things like that. And when I got my first job, which was a trivia show, I kind of felt like I had been preparing my entire life for it. And the interviewing kind of came later. I sort of stumbled into it. At my first job, they needed some people to pick up some interviews that perhaps they were not very excited to do. So they're like, let's let the newbie do them. And I really found that I enjoyed them. And I really find that artists really appreciate it if, and this is a secret of the trade, you actually do research before you talk to them. I mean, if I had a nickel for every time an artist said to me, wow, I can't believe you listened to my album.
Yeah.
Or, wow, you've really done your research. Or, I can't believe that you knew that about me. That's kind of sad in a way. That artists have to have so many bad interview experiences.
Yeah, I would think a lot of interviews are just, where are you playing next? And just, your album's out, tell me about it. And you do the work. You're the one doing the interview. You come up with a question that's going to draw some insight out of the artist.
Right. I mean, also in the back of your mind, you kind of need to know what everybody's doing just in case you're on a red carpet. That's when you're on the fly, and you have to kind of know a little bit about something about everybody. So
right.
If somebody places somebody in front of you, you've got to be able to come up with something. And, that's a skill that you hone over the years. But in general, yeah, I like to listen to the album. I like to do the research. I like to find interesting angles on maybe topics that have already been discovered. Okay, we know that you did this, but when you were doing that, what happened? Or how did you feel about this or that? So I just try to kind of surface new angles. And also what we say, feed the beast, in what I mean is we know that we're going to need for our clients and our customers. Every radio station is going to want to have an artist talking about Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas, things like that. So we always try to make sure that we get that kind of thing in.
Right. Same thing here for Billboard.com. It's 24/7. There's always content that we need to churn out and put on the website. Do you feel that sort of that constant buzz in the back of your mind that you're never truly off the job? I mean, if you love it, that's great, but there maybe is never that absolute downtime other than vacation or when you're truly relaxed, but it's always kind of in the back of your mind, right?
Yeah, I mean, I know that I don't know how many people you guys have working on Billboard.com, but I'm always impressed by how much stuff you guys put up, and you guys are a very good source for us, for sure, because generally we can always trust you guys to be right. I let you know when you're not, of course. But,
yes, you have. My direct messages from you on that prove that. But we want to be excited. We want to be right, too. We're on the same wavelength.
Right, exactly. But, yes, I always feel I never shut it down completely because I'm – for ABC Radio, I'm the only entertainment manager there is. So I'm essentially on call 24/7. You know, over the weekend, if Anthony Kiedis gets taken to the hospital, I'm going to be the one – organizing that story and posting that story and things like that.
Any artists that you've met over the years that you've really enjoyed interviewing more than others? Some highlights, some favorites?
Well, you know, I've met artists that I've really enjoyed, and I love to talk to them over and over again just because they're just really great people and they're a great interview. There are people I really like. Maybe I don't even like their music that much, but I like them.
Right.
So I like to talk to them. I won't be naming names.
But, oh, but, this is a good thing. You're complimenting people. I know you'll leave some people out, but there's got to be some people.
Well, I would say that probably the most thrilling interview I ever did was at my first job when I interviewed Pete Townsend of The Who, because he's my personal musical idol. And it's one of those things where, you know, you've been rehearsing since you were a kid as to what you would say to this person if you met them, and then
right.
you finally get a chance to meet them. So that was a real thrill, I have to say. But I always get a kick out of interviewing people who were very big when I was in high school, and it's like, oh, wow, you were one of my first concerts, and here I am interviewing you, that kind of thing. And, of course, I like to interview artists whose music I genuinely like. I love to interview artists whose music I didn't know I was going to like, and then I listened to it, and I was like, wow, this is really great. And then, you know, even if I don't like it that much, I always try to find something positive to say about it. You know, maybe I don't like the song, but maybe the drums are really terrific. So I can praise them on that.
Any interviews that stand out as not so great?
Well, there are some interviews where in the times, for example, I've interviewed very young artists, and not a lot of them are very good at expressing themselves yet. Artists who are teenagers. Some of them are just sort of otherworldly. Like, I remember the first time I interviewed Leanne Rimes. She was, I don't know, probably 15.
Right.
But she was, boy, she was terrific. And then there are other artists I've interviewed who are teens, and they really couldn't express themselves very well. But I think that kind of obviously comes with practice, so.
Is there any real guiding force you have in a story when you go to do a story about anything? Is there something you just want to get out of it, or you just think this has to be the reason I'm doing it? What makes good content in your mind?
Well, I think that it's a combination of serving our clients. You know, if our clients are radio stations, we want to give them information about artists that they are playing or artists that they might be playing very soon. Sometimes I'll wait on interviewing an artist because they're just so new. They've just come out. They're on some format that takes a while to kind of filter down to my format.
Right.
So I'll kind of hold off and see if it's going to cross over. So to me, when it comes to covering music anyway, for our music products, I really just go with who are these stations playing and who do people care about, unless it's something, some overweening thing that's just somebody is everywhere and
right.
you must write about them because, you know, this is a huge story. Or it's a has-been person that nobody's playing currently, but everybody remembers who they are. Sinead O'Connor, for example. You know, you want to cover her going missing in Chicago, even if nobody's playing her music these days.
Right. There's a family-friendly element to ABC. Are there certain stories that come up that you have to be a little careful in how you cover them, or does that not extend to your coverage?
No, if it's newsworthy, we will cover it, but we have to be very careful. For example, in our B2B product, we will always put a notation, note language, this video is not safe for work, etc. If we do it to our B2C product, where there is no filter between the customers and the content, we won't even embed a video that's not safe for work. Because remember, these are going to be on radio station websites.
Right.
We don't want a program director calling us and saying, why did you have this filthy thing on my website? We try not to put really bad language. I mean, we're very, very careful. We beep. In terms of our audio, we beep everything.
Like you are on the safe side.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, even a word like goddamn, we have to beep that.
Right.
Yeah.
I met you in the summer to my heartbeat sound. We fell in love as the leaves turn brown. And we
chatting with Andrea Dresdale, Manager Entertainment Programming for ABC Radio here on the Billboard Chartbeat podcast, talking about your job, Andrea. I know one of your biggest passions, because we've talked in previous years, and this is why you're on the podcast now, just right after Memorial Day here. We're actually taping this about a week and a half before Memorial Day, but we know that summer is coming. The weather has gotten mostly warm here in New York City. Song of the Summer, has that always been a passion of yours, or at least for the last few years when this has kind of become a bigger thing in entertainment coverage?
I think it's definitely become a bigger thing. I know that you guys have the official Song of the Summer, which is wholly based on chart performance.
Correct.
From Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Yes.
But then there's also just a general Song of the Summer thing where you just get that phrase a lot, and a lot of outlets will, you know, be reporting it. They'll describe music as it's the Song of the Summer. It can be a Song of the Summer. So, I mean, there's two different things. It's something that just feels like that, and something that literally is the Song of the Summer because of how well it's done on the chart. And I'm interested in both, really.
Is there a specific type of song for you that makes a good Song of the Summer?
Well, I think it's going to be anything that is going to sound good while you're out doing summer activities, like driving around with the windows open, being on the beach, being at a barbecue, just going out and being about. It could even be the stuff that you're going to hear on the radio while you're walking around the supermarket. Just something. I think we all have those songs where you go back and you remember exactly where you were. I remember I was lying in my backyard sunning myself when I was listening to that Andy Gibbs song or something like that.
You know, you're the latest person to say here on the podcast that music around when you were 14 or so is the music you take with you. You were saying interviewing artists that meant a lot to you that age. You're part of that thinking, too, that's the music that stays with you for the rest of your life?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's funny. We were just talking about the fact that the Monkees are launching their 50th anniversary tour.
Right.
And, you know, what is it that is keeping the Monkees going and is the the popularity of their music? Yeah, they had the world's best songwriters writing amazing songs for them. But a lot of it is nostalgia. It's that time where you can think back to how much music meant to you and how you couldn't wait to hear it. And you're listening to your radio underneath your covers. And I think that people are inevitably nostalgic for that time in their lives because they were young and they were innocent. And for example, like you and me, we weren't in the industry, so we didn't know all the,
right,
the background stuff that was going on. We could just kind of enjoy music for music's sake, which we probably can't do these days.
That's one of the things about music that I think is so great, how it can just evoke a memory. I mean, songs of other seasons can do that too. You can have a song of the winter, you can have a song of spring or fall. But there is something about summer songs. I guess we're on vacation, out of school if you're younger, so I guess there's that extra special element, and that's why Song of the Summer has become the thing every year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, every song that tends to get released around this time will always be pitched as, it's the perfect summer song.
Right.
It's the perfect, you know, soundtrack to your summer. And obviously, I don't think every song is like that, but I think this year we've got some pretty good contenders.
See, labels should just be really honest, and when they have a really sad, dark ballad, say, this is the song of the winter. This will just make you totally depressed,
right,
this winter.
Right.
I'll have more label people on here, and I will pitch.
Right.
That is an idea of free marketing.
Well, you're going to start a new Billboard chart, right?
Song of the Winter?
Yes.
The saddest chart we've,
yes,
ever put out.
Sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops.
So let's get into this happy songs for the summer. Do you have any top picks, Andrew? I've got a whole list of songs here. You've got some notes, but anything top of mind that you're picking so far?
I think that you and I have spoke about this. It's the number one most undeniable song, which is the new Justin Timberlake,
right,
single. It just puts a smile on your face every time you hear it. The video is a heck of a lot of fun. Every time I hear it, I just want to drive really fast. It's like I'm not burnt on. I've heard it quite a bit, as you can imagine, just debuted at number one. But it's still gaining in airplay. And every time I hear it, it's great.
To keep repeating the word dance, dance, dance in a chorus with a really catchy melody, that's about the exact center of pure pop music.
And how about the fact that Can't Stop the Feeling, it's got an exclamation point at the end of it as part of the title.
There was probably discussion in the crafting of that song about the exclamation point and how that was important to create an extra vibe of happiness and summer fun about it.
Well, what about, you know, I think you always have to worry about parenthetical songs, you know, parenthetically titled songs.
Right.
Because, you know, do they help or hurt the song? Why are they necessary? When you know, when you get one of those songs where the title has absolutely nothing to do with the lyric,
yeah.
The record company probably asks for something parenthetical. So,
Bryan Adams, "Everything I Do It For You." That
yes.
was a parenthetical song of the summer 25 years ago, 1991.
Yeah. And also, Train's "Drops of Jupiter, Tell Me."
Right.
So that's one example. There's have been a bunch of other ones, but anyway, we're talking about songs of the summer.
That's the grammar journalism fan in you.
That's
right.
Right.
You're going to the titles and the
right.
punctuation.
Right.
We're talking about songs of the summer. It turns into a punctuation
right.
conversation. We're just one song in.
But right.
Yeah, Timberlake certainly has got to be way up there. What else are top choices for you, Andrea?
Well, I think that the Calvin Harris Rihanna song, "This Is What You Came For," has the potential to be big for two reasons. One, because everybody loved We Found Love when it came out in 2011, which was the first collaboration. It was such a huge, massive song. How many weeks was it number one?
10 weeks. Rihanna's biggest hit.
Right. And so it's Calvin Harris and Rihanna teaming up again, but I also think there's the added attraction of speculation that the song is about Calvin Harris's girlfriend, Taylor Swift. So it's funny because we're always listening to Taylor Swift songs and trying to figure out who she's writing about, and now we're listening to a Calvin Harris song and wondering if it's about Taylor. So I think those two things, plus which Taylor promoted so much on social media,
right.
that it has a good chance of being really big.
Yeah, and that's gonna be a big hit. Debuted in the top 10 for Rihanna. Calvin Harris, what else are you predicting, Andrea?
Well, I was kind of thinking that maybe Adele's "Send My Love to Your New Lover" could be a song of the summer, because unlike "Hello" and unlike "When We Were Young," this is a really kind of upbeat, breezy, almost a little bit of reggae-ish song.
Yeah, right.
I think it's her first collaboration with Max Martin and Shellback. And those guys really know how to write a hit. And also, it's going to get this. The video is going to get this big premiere rollout.
Right.
It will have already rolled out
yep.
by the time this airs, but at the Billboard Music Awards. And I think if it could show a fun, happy side of Adele, that's really going to be something we haven't seen from her. We've seen angry, we've seen depressed, we've seen nostalgic, but
happy Adele. How about that?
Well, you know what's really interesting? "Send My Love to Your New Lover." It's like, oh yeah, well, you know, you left me, but. You know what? Send her my love. I'm
right.
totally cool with it. I'm fine. We were too young. We're both moving on. That's kind of something that we haven't really heard expressed from Adele, and I think that's really great. So I think that could be a big hit. I mean, "When We Were Young" certainly was not as big as "Hello." "Hello" was the big comeback. "When We Were Young" is a great song, and I know Adele thinks it's one of the greatest songs she's ever written. But I think "Send My Love to Your New Lover" is a lot more people can get into it a lot more.
And it's not a coincidence that it's out now as summer is starting. Labels are not trying to hide the fact that they're pretty much putting out big up-tempo singles for the summer, ballads in the winter, as we were saying. We just sort of accepted that that's we want to feel good and have that party sound in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, another song like that I think, it's already been a huge rock hit, but I think can now really be big on pop is "Ride" by 21 Pilots.
Right.
Because, obviously, "Stressed Out" was such a big hit. I was surprised that it crossed over to pop the way that it did. And that song was kind of more like kind of an angry, emotional song. But "Ride" just has that, I mean, it kind of reminds me of, in a way, like maybe Sublime in the
90s. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so that's kind of a grooving, cool summer song that I think can do well.
Let's just sort of go over some other songs here, one by one. And interesting, we've already mentioned Max Martin has come up now twice, right, with Timberlake and Adele. That's not a bad way to get a big summer hit, is just call up Max Martin, have him write a song for you.
And, well, that's what Pink did, because her song, "Just Like Fire," which
right.
is from Alice Through the Looking Glass, also co-written with Max Martin and Shellback. And that is a really – first of all, everybody is so happy to have something new from Pink, because other than that record she did with the guy from City in Color, she hasn't put out a new single in something like 3 years.
Yeah, natural pop.
Yeah, and this is interesting because it's really kind of organic. You know, you can really hear the strumming guitar, but it's got this rap in the middle. So it's something, I think it's different from Pink, but it's got a lot of attitude, and I think that's what people love about Pink.
I know I can lie, but I won't lie to you. Wherever I go, you're the ghost in the room.
Someone who is a really good songwriter, very successful, who is not Max Martin, is Ryan Tedder of One Republic. I've heard that song once. Their new song, "Wherever I Go," sounded like a perfect summer song to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he Ryan Tedder has spoken about how they have slaved over this record. They've tried to make it the best record. And they also wanted to make this first single a song that can really connect to people, because he said in an interview recently that it seemed that it was only the third single from their records that were really, really big.
Yeah, right.
Like that's Counting Stars.
Yeah,
and,
that's an interesting pattern.
And so he said, let's just skip that part and go right to the good one.
They could have put out two bad songs first, just so we know he'd get that third hit.
Right, and it seems to me like they're promoting this thing in a really big way, and it is very catchy. It's very unmistakably One Republic. So I think that, and they have so many fans all over the world. They're really a global band, and they recorded the album all over the world. So I think that will definitely find an audience across multiple formats.
Two of the biggest albums that have come out recently. One of them has had a number one Hot 100 hit. One of them isn't really have an official single yet, at least at the time we're taping this. Drake, One Dance, has been a number one Hot 100 hit. Justin Timberlake knocked it out of number one when it debuted. But I would think One Dance has a lot of life left in it through the summer.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that's Drake's first number one as a lead artist, because he's had so many chart hits.
Right.
But I think that kind of all that featuring on other people's records has sort of like laid the groundwork for him to become as big as he is. And these days, he can't put out a record without it debuting at number one. He's so popular, both in pop and in urban. And I think that this song in particular, it has kind of a summer dance hall vibe. And it's got the little added guest artists that change it up a little bit. It's not just like Hotline Bling where it was just Drake. So I think that, I think this song's definitely in the mix for Song of the Summer.
Is Sorry by Beyoncé kind of seems like it's surfacing maybe as the pop hit. Nothing official yet from Columbia. Do you see that, or is this album just sort of being consumed more on a viral level, and maybe it's not so much Song of the Summer consideration?
Well, it's almost like maybe an album of the summer
in
a way, because it kind of really stands as one piece, as a whole. And it's almost hard to separate little bits of it out. Sorry is definitely one that stands alone. Also, I think Hold Up, which has that summer feel, even though the visual that matches it is really funny, because that's the one where she's taking the baseball bat and destroying everything.
Right.
It's very Michael Jackson black and white callback. But I think that people are sort of consuming and enjoying this record as a piece. But it does have the title Lemonade, which is very summery. So I don't know. You know, Beyoncé is nothing if not well thought out and clever.
That must have been part of the planning, right? We're putting this out just before summer.
Right.
Lemonade. One song that's kind of been bubbling under a little bit, it's been a big dance hit. And it's funny to me, because this is one of my songs of the summer for 1988. But now it's back for 2016. A Jonas Blue's cover of Fast Car. I don't know if it's going to cut through. I kind of hope it does, and I think it would sound great this summer.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that it's very interesting when you have these reworkings of songs that, you know, we remember from our childhood, but people just haven't heard. But they're great songs. They're great melodies. So you would think that those kind of songs would always kind of resonate, and you know, if they can bring it to a new audience, why not? I mean, it's happened many, many times. You know, the song that I'm curious about is Panda by Designer, because, you know, it's already been number one, but it's just getting airplay now. Is that a song that's going to be a song of the summer? It's more of like a club song, I think. But
what's interesting about that song and the summer song discussion is they tend to be songs with absolute singable choruses, and Panda is such a different type of song. It's more driven by the groove and by the rapping and just the vibe of the song. So I don't know if it would catch on quite on the same level, especially at top 40 radio. It's building at radio, but it would sort of fight that battle that it doesn't have the traditional catchy chorus.
Yeah, I mean, when you think of last year's Song of the Summer, which was Cheerleader, you know, that's pretty much, again, seemed like it was designed in a lab. Actually, it was designed in a lab, since it was the remix of that original song that came out. But, yeah, I know what you mean. It's not exactly the breezy song that you're going to listen to on the beach. But
it might be. Might just be this one is kind of cool, and just we like it for different reasons.
Well,
songs break through for different reasons.
Yeah, it certainly sounds different from anything else out there right now. And I think you could never count that out when it comes to a song breaking through.
A song at Billboard, I know we've talked about here, sort of a pick for a lot of staff members, sounds kind of fresh too, and has a different sound, is Kent Jones, Don't Mind.
You know, somebody just told me about that song. I've not heard it yet, but I was talking to people at the label about it, and they were telling me how great it was. So I'm definitely going to have to check that one out. I haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah, I think that's an R&B contender for crossover. Going back to pop, three divas, Ariana Grande's Into You has just come out. I think that's a really catchy, up-tempo song. Great follow-up to Dangerous Woman.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, she just, it seems weird, like, that she's putting out another new album so soon after her last one, but I really feel like this one, she really wants to show her growth artistically and lyrically with these songs and sort of capturing her sexuality and, you know, becoming into her own. So, and, you know, we all know how many fans she has, and her songs sound great on the radio, and I'll always give her credit for, you know, sort of putting The Weeknd front and center before anybody else did.
Right. Meghan Trainor is back. New song, Me Too. Kind of mixes her original doo-wop sound with her newer TLC Britney sound.
Yeah, I think that song is hilarious, and I think it's adorable. The video is really cute. I love the fact that on her record, her new record, Thank You, she's got so many songs about basically how, you know, she is it. There's no insecurity or anything. It's just basically, I am great, and let me tell you why. And that's always really nice to hear, because you hear so many people sort of having self-deprecating or depressing things. It's like, I'm fine no matter what I am. This is like, I'm great.
It just genuinely,
I am terrific. Yes.
Self-esteem. It doesn't come off as boasting. It's just, let's all feel good about ourselves.
Right, but it's also like with a nod and a wink as well. It's kind of funny for her to be singing that.
Right.
But yeah, and she, I talked to her about this song recently, and she really likes it. But you know, the whole album is really good, actually, and I wouldn't be surprised if she gets a couple more hits off of that one, just like she did with her debut album.
And just a couple more rock contenders before we wrap up the podcast, Andrea. You mentioned 21 Pilots. I would throw out there maybe these three songs that could be rock crossovers, not that a whole lot of rock crosses over at this point, but Strumbella's Spirits, Avett Brothers, I know it's a favorite of yours, we were talking before, Ain't No Man, and Lumineers' Ophelia has been number one for about 3 months at adult alternative radio.
Yeah, you know, I find that it takes a really long time, and you know this better than me, for things to cross over from AAA to become very mainstream, but I think that those songs have the, you know, basically the potential to do it, especially Lumineers, because they made it all the way to AC with their previous song, and we know how long that takes. So, yeah, definitely that, and it's funny, all those songs were very rootsy and organic, and I think maybe we felt like maybe that was just a trend, it was like the Mumford & Sons thing, but it seems like people are still digging that sound. You know, we have like Nathaniel Rateliff and really that really kind of very non-produced, raw feeling. The Avett Brothers, that's a great song just because after you hear it once, you can sing along. And it's also kind of a very empowering, fist-pumping song. And as Strumbella's, that's a really great sing-along song as well. So, yeah, any one of those I think could probably at least crush the Hot AC.
Andrew, we'll have you back end of the summer. Go over summer picks, see if we did really well or really bad.
Yes, that'll be great. I just have to say, please don't hold me to any of these predictions. If they're all wrong, I was just, you know, making stuff up.
Well, you haven't had much sleep, apparently, so
no.
you can be forgiven. Andrea Drysdale, Manager Entertainment Programming for ABC Radio. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I had a great time. Thanks.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.